Prophecies about Russia. A prophecy of more than 2,000 years ago. Russia, as we know, has only come into prominence during the last 300 or 400 years. Before that, it was a very sparsely populated territory whose people were split into various tribes, holding small strips of land. Even in areas that bordered on the regions now known as Russia, this endless expanse of territory had no economic or political significance. 1,000 years ago, it was scarcely known, sparsely populated, and attracted little interest. Further back in history, 2,500 years ago, hardly anyone knew of it. An isolated geographer here and there might have had some vague notion of its existence, but no more. At that time, the prophet Ezekiel made a striking prophecy, which is preserved in the books of the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend, and come like a storm, thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? To carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, and take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against them throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God, every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 39. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou, and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, said the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the handstaves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. So that they shall take no wood cut out from the field, neither cut down any out of the forests, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day, that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamongog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them. And it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamongog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God, Speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field, Assemble yourselves, and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice, that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats. Of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken, of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. Made at a time when Russia was entirely unknown to the outside world, and when nobody could imagine that it would attain such progress and domination, this prophecy is remarkably clear. It tells us that Meshech and Tubal, Moscow and Russia, will attain great power and glory, until, aware of their strength, they would try to subjugate other countries and snatch away their wealth. We would note that according to the words of this prophecy, Persia would one day be reduced to submission by Moscow, the foundations for which are being laid in the current Russian demand for oil concessions from Iran. Carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil. This portion of the prophecy indicates that Russian imperialism would be even more dangerous for the other countries than the earlier forms of imperialism. We are told that Russia would leap forward in wave after wave of unchecked conquests until it would begin to dream of holding sway over Jerusalem, lying defenseless in the path of its victorious hordes. Then God's wrath would be kindled, and a rain of fire and sulfur would descend upon it, and its jaws would be broken by heavy piercing blows, which would bring such utter destruction that its dead would lie in heaps in the valleys, and it would take months to cover them up with earth. To people who do not believe in prophecies, I would like to say that if there was no God who gave his apostles foreknowledge of mighty events, then who was it that told Ezekiel 2,500 years ago that Russia would embark upon a program of world conquest, aggression, and aggrandizement, so that God's wrath would be kindled against it and the punishment from heaven would leave its power in ruins? When we give due thought to this prophecy and the extraordinary manner in which it has come true in our own days, we are forced to conclude that God, who conveys such tidings to his chosen servants, really does exist. And if God does exist, and he gave to Ezekiel foreknowledge of these events, we must also bear in mind that God Almighty does not wish that the communist system, which forms the basis of Russia's political economy and social structure, should be permanently established in this world, and that its downfall is not very far away. Prophecy of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam regarding Russia. Now let me turn to a prophecy about Russia that God revealed to the founder of the Ahmadiyya movement, informing him that Russia's Tsar was about to face a very serious calamity. Tsar bhi hoga to hoga, us ghadi barhal Tsar. Brahine Ahmadiyya, Part 5, Ruhani Khazain, Volume 21, page 152. That is, the day is coming when the Tsar of Russia would be reduced to a very miserable plight. As we all know, the reigning Tsar and his family were captured and killed after the Red Revolution, and suffering untold privations and humiliations. It is one of the most painful and tragic episodes of human history. Another prophecy made by the Promised Messiah alayhi salam in regard to Russia was recorded by him as follows. On January 22, 1903, I saw in a vision that the scepter of the Tsar of Russia had come into my hand. It was very long and beautiful, but examining it carefully I found that it was a gun, though it had not the appearance of one. It had secret barrels, and outwardly appeared to be no more than a scepter, while it was also really a gun. Al-Hakam, No. 4, Volume 7, January 31, 1903, page 15, 3. Publisher's Note. In Tazkara, 2nd English Edition, a reference to this vision/dream appears on page 591, with some variation of words, under the date January 30th, 1903. End note. Being given the scepter of a country, in a revelatory vision, signifies that the recipient will be granted power and influence over that country. Thus, Prophet Ezekiel's prophecy informs us that God is not in favor of the establishment of the communist rule, and if the new rulers do not seek God's forgiveness, but continue to interfere in the internal affairs of other nations, they will face God's wrath and severe punishment. But the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has given us the glad tiding that the direction and control of Russia's affairs would one day pass into the hands of Ahmadis, who would be assigned the responsibility of reforming the system. These prophecies from God Almighty were made at a time when there were few indications of their being fulfilled, and this is so even today. I place these prophecies before the thousands of people gathered here today to listen to my address. The words of the prophet Ezekiel were given to the world 600 years before Christ. In other words, more than 2,500 years ago. At that time, very little was known of Russia, and it was unimaginable that it would assume such power and influence over other countries. The more we think, the more we are struck by the grandeur of the prophecy. Then there is the prophecy of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, regarding the extinction of Tsar's reign, whose fulfillment has been witnessed by the whole world. The Promised Messiah's second prophecy foresees the collapse of the Soviet rule and the handover of its guiding control into the hands of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was shown in a vision that the keys of the treasuries of the Roman and Persian empires had been put into his hands, but they actually came into the hands of his followers during the days of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. In a similar way, the scepter of Russia would one day pass, according to this prophecy, into the hands of the Promised Messiah's followers. Prophecies made by God's prophets are not necessarily fulfilled in their own time, but later, as the history of religion shows, at the hands of their followers. It is not a fanciful dream, but our conviction that God has put us in charge of removing Russia's evils and reforming the Soviet system, and that one day the Russian people will embrace Ahmadiyyat and establish the system we have described. Sooner or later, the danger that communism poses will disappear, and the world will come to realize that the only remedy for the world's ills and afflictions lies in adopting the Islamic teachings. A dream bearing upon destruction of communism. 24 years ago, I saw in a dream that I was standing in the middle of a vast plain, and a monster in the form of a huge serpent was approaching in the distance. Its proportions might have been as much as 20 yards in length, and the thickness of the trunk of the giant tree. As the monster approached, it seemed that it had started from one end of the earth, devouring everything along the way. When it reached the point where I was standing, it turned towards an Ahmadi, who started to run to escape the reptile. At that moment, I grabbed a big staff and started to chase the monster in order to rescue the Ahmadi, but I found that the monster was running so fast that I had no chance of overtaking it. All the time, I continued to run, and then I saw that the Ahmadi had reached a tree, which he started to climb in haste. But before he could climb high enough, the reptile reached him and swallowed the Ahmadi in a single mouthful. Then the monster turned in anger at me for having tried to rescue its prey. But as it ran to attack me, I saw the frame of a charpai, an Indian bedstead, lying close to where I stood. As soon as the serpent came close, I jumped onto this frame and managed to stand astride on its two opposite bars. As the reptile came closer, I heard some people asking me how I could hope to fight it when the Holy Prophet ﷺ had said that there was no one who could subdue it. I realized then that this monster was none other than the Gog and Magog to whom this hadith referred, and that the monster was in fact the Dajjal. At that point, I raised both hands towards heaven in prayer for God's help and protection. Responding to the Ahmadis by my side who had pointed out to me the futility trying to fight the monster, I said that I did not seek to fight it through my own powers, but through the power of prayer, and that victory by this means was not precluded by what the Holy Prophet ﷺ had said. As I prayed, I noticed a change was coming over the serpent, just like little mountain insects that start to melt when salt is poured over them. I noticed that it had started to lose its fire and speed until it became completely dormant. It then assumed a jelly-like form, which melted into watery liquid that began to flow away. I turned to my companions and said, "Did you observe the power of prayer?" "Of course. I did not have the strength to overcome the danger I faced, but my God certainly had the power to remove it."